You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 10th day of December, a Thursday afternoon. We're joined by Mike Tenorum. He's at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, to look at the growing regions around the planet. I'd like to start in South America. We know the El Niño has an impact, not always on parts of South America, but I suspect there are some things afoot there that we probably ought to discuss. What do you see?
Well, we're certainly seeing some of the initial impacts of the El Niño that's taking place at the moment. Now, we can measure how strong the El Niño is by measuring water temperatures across the Pacific Ocean every month. And the National Weather Service has been doing this since January of 1950. The latest observation for November just arrived, and it turns out that it's the highest recorded number on record. So what that means is that we're essentially looking at what may be the strongest El Niño to be measured. So we won't know for sure for a couple of months because we have to look at a longer period than just 1 month at a time. But nonetheless, that's pretty unusual, and we can say with confidence now that the water temperatures in the equatorial Pacific Ocean are currently the warmest relative to normal in 66 years of record. Now, all of that being said, we're starting to see those impacts in Brazil, and we have been seeing them for a little while. If you start on November 1st and go through this morning, it's been the wettest since at least 2002 across southern Brazil and in Paraguay as well. This includes some of the main corn and soybean areas of both countries. So if rain can be too much, it might be too much, especially when you look at the forecast going forward. We essentially have the jet stream stuck across the same region of Brazil, and that's sending cool front after cool front after cool front into the same area. We'll see more and more rain as we go forward, and we're looking for rainfall totals of around 3 to 6 inches across this region over the next 10 days. That's around 150% to 300% of normal, which is basically telling you that you have the same weather pattern that's been taking place over the last 6 weeks continuing. So you put all this together, it's probably too wet in southern Brazil and in Paraguay. It'll take some time to see how that affects their corn and soybeans, but I imagine that there are some farmers down there that probably are saying that they don't want any more rain.
I would think that would be the case. As it happens, Mike, I was listening back this morning for some things that I'm preparing for the holiday period to an interview that you and I did the first week of July. We were talking about this same topic, except for Corn Belt regions, and you reminded producers then that when you looked back historically, there were some times that we had not great yields in such conditions, but only if it continued to rain in the months of July and August. But otherwise, we might have actually very good yields in some cases. I know you may not have the same kind of access to data in South America, but do you think the same could hold true there if they begin to have more normal rainfall?
Well, it's hard to say. One of the problems you have whenever you look at South America production, especially in Brazil, is that we don't have a real long history of weather or of yield. If you go back in time, you have to remember that there was a huge expansion in soybean production areas over the last 10 to 20 years. So if you go back just 20 years ago and look at how much rain there was, you know, there might not have been too many soybeans in that area as of today. So it's a little bit more challenging to correlate weather to yield in that region. Another issue is that they just have a lot of rain at different times of the year. So it just gets real tricky to start putting all the big picture together. And keep in mind, too, when we start talking about how much rain there was in Brazil, there's gigantic spaces between what we know and what we don't know. If you look at the state of Mato Grosso in Brazil, for example, we have about 6 or 7 good weather observation stations that exist across that state. That state is much larger than Texas, and they have soybeans grown throughout most of it. So try to imagine if you were trying to figure out how wet or dry it was in Texas, but you only had 4 or 5 weather observations for the entire state. Obviously, there would be huge gaps in your data. We do have satellite technology, which can help us to try and estimate how much rain there was across different areas that's available to us now. But that technology is pretty new, too. We've only had that for maybe 3, 4, or 5 years. And the correlations between what that shows and what actually gets produced at the corn and soybean level don't always match very well in the very small data sets that we have. So these are some of the problems that you start to run into in that region. And there's a number of other ones, too. This is just kind of the tip of the iceberg.
And finally, why don't we come back here to the United States? Because the rain has been falling in the Corn Belt, and it's been pretty persistent.
Well, keep in mind that in the El Nino of December through February of 1982-83, in which the current El Nino just slightly displaced to become a little bit stronger than that one, December of 1982 across the Corn Belt was the wettest in 121 years of record. So this pattern we're seeing right now is not all that dissimilar to what happened in the El Nino of 1982. Additionally, the winter of 1982-83 and of 1997-98, for that matter, keep in mind this El Nino we're in now is most comparable to those two. Both winters in 82-83 and 97-98 were much warmer than normal. Look out your window today. Exactly what we're seeing now is what we would expect to see. And if we go back in time to September of this year, and we come all the way up to the point that we're at right now, we're in the midst of the number three warmest period for that period in 121 years of record. If you combine that with what is most likely to be a continuation of warmth over the next 3 to 4 months, you can make some pretty strong arguments. In September through February of 2015-16 will end up being number one, two, or three warmest across the Corn Belt in 121 years of record.
Mike, thank you so much for taking so much time with us today to explain El Nino and its impact on the Western Hemisphere. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd. You have a great afternoon.